I bring you peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm so grateful to God Almighty for another day like today, which I have the opportunity to continue the letter to the churches in Asia Minor. It has been a very wonderful time with the Lord, I believe, and I am personally learning a lot. I'm doing all my best to be an overcomer and always listening to what the Spirit says to the churches. Today we'll have the privilege to dine with God. And as I spoke last week of that hidden manna which God will give to overcomers, I believe that as long as we keep on doing the work of the Lord, listening to Him and obeying Him, today's supper will be a special manna in your lives that God is going to lift you up, strengthen you, and make you become the person that He wants you to be. Today we are traveling to Thyatira. We're traveling to Thyatira. And reading Ephesians chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, 18 to 29. Revelation chapter 2, 18 to 29. I'm reading from the NIV version. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love, and your faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am He who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. to the one who is victorious or overcomer and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like poultry. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. The Thyatira Church, as we have visited this morning, the description given to that church is the corrupt church. That is their description, the corrupt church. And they have been praised for good deeds, love, service, faith, and patience. And they have been warned about allowing Jezebel to teach and seduce to immorality and idolatry. And also they were warned about making sure, holding fast and overcoming. And the promise given to the church in Thyatira is that they will rule over nations and receive morning star. See, the description of Jesus Christ, even as the angel writes to this church, is that these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Beloved, blazing fire means Jesus has eyes of piercing vision, penetrating perfect knowledge, and a thorough insight into all persons and all things. One who searches the hearts and tries the reins of the children of men. And therefore, I want the church in Canada to know he does so. Nothing can be hidden from him. He has that brazen eyes that even as I speak to you, wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life, he sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him. Even in your sharp consciences, he knows what goes on. That is the Savior we are serving. That is the man you and I are worshiping. And also he has a burnished bronze feet. Speaks of threatening judgment. That the outgoing of his providence are steady, awful, and all pure and holy. As he judges with perfect wisdom, so he acts with perfect strength and steadiness. So he is unwavering in his judgment. And whatever he has said, surely he will do it. He's not like man who should lie. Sometimes I can decide to have, you know, a judgment upon the people, but I could be influenced by my judgment. But here is the man whose feet is like the burnished bronze. He stands very firm, and everything he has said will surely come to pass. That's why the Bible warns us, beloved, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That is the one who wrote this letter to Thyatira, which is also coming to us today.
Thyatira. The name Thyatira means perpetual sacrifice or continual offering. And Thyatira in the present day is in Turkish. It is known as Aklisha. That is the present, Thyatira in Turkish. It was a working man's town with many trade guilds for clothing making, dyeing, and pottery. The lady called Lydia in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, Paul's first convert in Philippi, was a merchant from Thyatira. The city was basically secular, with no focus on any particular religion. But God took particular notice of people who have been saved through Christ Jesus. Canada can be anybody's country. Yet the Lord is watching each and every Christian, as well as the church, in our everyday activity. Therefore, we can never hide under the canopy of the universality. This is Canada. Everybody is free. The state allows it and do whatever we want. Once you have professed Jesus and accepted him as your Lord and Savior, even in the place where Satan has his throne, the eye of God is upon you. He wants to make sure you're doing exactly what he wants. The Christians were commended for doing more than they did at first. That is how Christianity is. Progression. You see, my maturity tomorrow should be greater than my maturity today. And so every other day, I am learning. I'm growing. I become mature every day. And they were recommended for doing more than they did at first. There was increase in love among them, increase in faith, increase in service, increase in perseverance, increase in other good deeds, including maybe giving, paying off tithes, and other things. Yet God demanded their sacrifices as well as their obedience. The times are critical. And we must spend our days, times, hours, seconds wisely and faithfully, exhibiting the good deeds in love, in faith, in service, and in giving. In verse 20 to 23, God was not pleased with them for tolerating that woman called Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess. This woman who seduced the people into immorality. Beloved, it is possible Apostle John called her Jezebel because every act of this woman in the church resonated the Jezebel in the Old Testament time. Who is this Jezebel in the Old Testament time? The name Jezebel here is a synonym of false worship, sensuality, and manipulative control and seduction. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29 to 31, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel, and he reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ahab, king of the Sidonites, and began to serve Baal and worship him. So, you see, Jezebel in the OT was the wife of Ahab, king of Israel. She turned Ahab's heart into Baal worship. Baal was the chief god worshipped by the Canaanites. Baal was the god of fertility, rain, and vegetation. Baal worship included the revolting practices of cult prostitution and child sacrifice. This made the state of Israel worse, and in the face of such spiritual rebellion, God sent the mighty prophet Elijah to go and warn them. So you see, this woman, Jezebel, in the Old Testament time, was able to influence a king of Israel, turn himself from God into worshiping the prophet Baal. And this same woman was in the church of Thyatira, or the woman in the church of Thyatira, her character resonated this woman, Jezebel. And in the 1 Kings 19, verse 1 to 3, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. And listen, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came under a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. He said, Lord, I've had enough. Take my life. I'm not better than my ancestors. The prophet Elijah's powerful expression of faith and the supernatural victories, you know, when he encountered the prophets of Baal, when he reads 1 Kings 18, were followed by an uncharacteristic fear and discouragement. All results of Jezebel's intention to kill him. When the women in the church become Jezebel in their homes as well as in the church, there will always be chaos. If a prophet like Elijah ran for his life and wish he was dead, what remains of an apostle, a pastor, an elder, and other members of the church when the Jezebels rise up? Jezebel's spirit is of the devil and cannot possess our homes as far as the nation, and we should not allow that. Let's learn about this Jezebel once again. In 1 Kings chapter 21, 1 to 15, and then verse 25, sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth. But Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors. So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite has said, I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors. He lay on his bed, sulking, and refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat? He answered her, because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, sell me your vineyard. Or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in his place. But he said, I will not give you my vineyard. Jezebel, his wife, said, is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I will get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed his seal on them, and sent them to the elders and the nobles who live in Naboth's city with him. In the letter she wrote, proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people. But seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring charges that he has cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death. So the elders and the nobles who live in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed in the letters she had written to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth in a prominent place among the people. The two scoundrels came and sat opposite him and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying, Naboth has cursed both God and the king. So they stoned him. They took him outside in the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent word to Jezebel. Naboth had been stoned to death. And as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, get up, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, that he refused to sell you. He is no longer alive, but dead. And when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard. See how strong this woman is? He puts two scoundrels. And these scoundrels are on principle dishonorable, crooks, creep, and good for nothing people. And you always have them in the church who can be influenced by this Jezebel. And you see the way Jezebel did it. He came in the form of a light, but deep within her, there was evil. The first thing she did was that, let there be a fasting. As if she's coming in the name of God. Watch them critically and see the way they come. I pray that we don't have Jezebelic spirit in our church. If we have this spirit, it will bring damnation upon us. They came in the form of godliness, but there is no strength and power in everything that they did. And they accused these people. I pray you're not influenced by anybody in the church. You must know what is right and stand by what is right. And always do what is truthful to the glory of God. And the verse 25 says that there was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. By Jezebel, his wife. I pray that the men will be head of their families in the home. If you don't lead as head of your families and allow the women to lead, be careful. They may send you into Jezebelic kind of life. See, the goal of Ahab's wicked wife was to totally replace worship to the Lord with worship to Baal as the chief god of Israel. She worked hard, but she failed to do so. Because God said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Beloved in Christ Jesus, one truth that emerges from Jezebel's life is that God balances the scales of justice in his church. Wickedness may prevail for a season, but righteousness of God will eventually triumph over evil forces. The name of Jezebel, rather, has become synonymous with wickedness, witchcraft, treachery, spiritual seduction, and name them. She died a disgraceful death. No wonder Apostle John used the name Jezebel to describe this false prophetess within the church in Thyatira, who was leading God's people into worldliness and immoral behavior, and warned about the consequences that will follow. Warn about this woman. Christians, and for that matter, the church, must reject all spokespersons who put their own words above biblical revelation and standards, and who claims that God accepts immoral behavior and lifestyles among professing Christians. Some in the church show an openness to tolerate such beliefs and teaching because it excuses their own questionable behavior and compromise with the world's pressure. Others will overlook this type of sin because of spiritual apathy, personal friendship, or fear of confrontation. Still others have completely selfish reason for this unacceptable practice, self-promotion and material gain. God says he will judge such leaders and punish all who sin in these ways and do not turn back to God for forgiveness and change their ways. The most promising and sweet message of this is that if we have a change of mind and come over to God, he will forgive us and restore us to fellowship. God takes it very seriously when anyone, but especially a professing Christian, causes Christians to sin by influencing them to do things that violate their own consciences or to engage in behaviors likely identified with ungodly practices. In order to guide ourselves and our churches against these less obvious but destructive influences, we must regularly examine ourselves by asking, has our faith and ministry, fruitfulness, or success caused us to rationalize questionable behavior or to overlook personal or church-wide sin? In verse 23, the Apostle John's message received from God and passed it on to the angel in the church in Thyatira to the people of God says, I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will pay each of you according to your deeds. Regarding her church, the woman Jezebel represents the spiritual mother of all those within the church who promotes antimonian. Antimonian is the acts against the law and libertine lifestyle. Libertarian lifestyle is indulging freely in immoral pleasures. Such people feel that because of God's grace, they are not bound by any fixed rules or religious regulation, including the moral standards of God's law. The book of Jude strongly warned the church of such people. They claim that liberty to engage in immoral behaviors without the fear of punishment from God. However, Christ will ultimately judge, condemn, and destroy all those who promote such deception and destruction in his churches. Thanks be to God that there are always those who remain true to Christ Jesus and will hold on and will not hold on to false teachings. and never encourage people to do so. Some in Thyatira didn't buy the teachings of this powerful woman and never adhered to Satan's so-called deep secrets. You know, Satan's so-called deep secrets may refer to the false teaching that claim to possess special knowledge that is necessary for spiritual salvation, the Gnostics, or Gnosticism. One brand of this deceptive philosophy says that in order to fully experience God's grace and salvation and to defeat Satan, a person must enter into the devil's domain, that is, into the depths of sin, and become acquainted with all kinds of evils, beliefs, and lifestyle. When we become acquainted with them, then we can defeat them, because we will know all their secrets. Jesus appeared to the faithful people to hold on to what they have until he comes. Christ words to the people, "Until I come," and to the end, make it clear that his messages, warnings, and promises to the seven churches apply to all churches, including the Church of Pentecost today, until the end of time, as we know it and anxiously are waiting for that great day. Who are the overcomers? In verse 26. These are people who hold on to the end. The overcomers in Thyatira were the true Christians who steadfastly maintained the works of genuine Christianity. Their reward will be to reign with Christ during the millennium. They will have authority over the nations and will rule them with a rod of iron. All sin and rebellion will be punished severely and promptly. The Lord promised to give the overcomer the morning star. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bright morning star, as in Revelation 22, 16. Just as the morning star appears in the heavens before the sun rises, so Christ will appear as the morning star to rapture his to heaven before he appears as the Son of Righteousness to reign over the earth. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, and then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. The prophet Malachi also refers to this son as having healing in his wings. So by giving his overcomers the morning star, Jesus says, "I will give himself in a new and a deeper way that brings healing, restoration, and the promises and the benefits of life in God's radiant light." You may be going through dark moments. It is very obvious to friends around. But I want to assure you this morning to hold on. Because as you are faithfully serving the Lord and then being, you know, a recipient of morning star, the darkness will cease and the star will emerge. Because light and darkness can never stay together. When we have the bright morning star, we have the light of God. And whatever difficulties that we are going through, if we hold on to God and go with God, there will be light at the end of the tunnel. Verse 29 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In the previous letters to the other churches, the overcomers were assured of the promises. But from Thyatira to the rest of the churches, the promises are mentioned before overcomers, meaning only overcomers are expected to have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Could they believe in the Lord? And they believe that even though they are living in this world, they are not of this world. They are not living dead. They are living alive Christians. In conclusion, Jezebelic Lifestyle is dangerous in the church, in the home, and in the society. Let's keep to sound biblical teachings to avoid the wrath of God. Jezebel seduced people and was very treacherous. And no wonder before her death, you see, she painted her eyes, arranged her hair, looked out of a window to see Jehu. I'm sure you have read in the Kings and known about the Jehu revelation, which wiped up all the descendants of Ahab. But when she saw that Jehu was coming, that is what the Bible says, she painted her eyes and arranged her hair to look so beautiful and said in the window to look out to Jehu. Maybe she thought Jehu could change his mind from killing her. She died a shameful death alongside members of Ahab's household. In Isaiah 3:16, the Lord condemned the women of Israel for being haughty, walking along with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, tripping along with mincing words, with ornaments jiggling on their ankles. When you read Isaiah 3:16-26, and then 4-1, you'll see this encounter. These women were despised by God. And the anger of God fled against them. It was a rebellion against God. It's a Jezebelic spirit. And I want to encourage our young ladies in the church, but that you should take very good care of yourselves. Don't dress to churches, to the public place, even to your workplaces, like the Jezebelic spirit entice women to. Sometimes it pains me as a beautiful young girl that you would dress and come to church and somebody looks at you and tell you, "Oh, you look so sexy. I like your dressing. You look so sexy." And I know you are not sex machines to look sexy. Are you seducing them? You see, the Bible says that if somebody looks at you lustfully, the person has committed sin. So my dressing should not cause somebody to sin. I shouldn't. I remember we had a Pensac conference, and when we got to the conference hall at the entrance, there was a struggle between the young men and some of the young ladies. I intercepted and wanted to know. And the young men said that they will not allow the young ladies to enter the conference hall. Why? They have paid. They pay for their hotels and everything. And they said, "Yes, Apostle, it's true. We have come here to receive from God the anointing. We have not come here to meditate upon people's lifestyle. And so instead of receiving from God, if you're not very careful, you'll sit down and then be meditating about the looks of the women, their curves, their dresses, and other things." And they said they have told these young girls, until they go back to their hotels and change their dresses, they will never allow them to come in. I was amazed. I thought that sometimes maybe it is those of us of the old school who do not appreciate this kind of dressing. No, no, the young men of their own age. Mommy asked one of them, and one of them said to Mommy, "Mama, we also have feelings, eh? But we are just trying to contain ourselves." So I want to appeal to you, sisters. Be very careful the way you dress yourself. The dressing of the people of Israel, which God condemned. You see, if you read what happens to the people or the women of Israel, When the anger of God fell against them for such rebellious act, some of the women became bald-headed, and their men died in war. And so there was scarcity in men, of men, to the point that Bible says that seven women will go to one man and tell him that, put your name over us. We will care for ourselves. If the women, the young ladies, will not take care of this Jezebelic dressing, the guys in the churches will sit down and talk about you and tell themselves that, you see, this girl, she's very treacherous. Because the passion they have towards you is so evil. And then they will go out and marry girls from outside whom they thought are better than you. But later on, they realize that they are angel lions. So mind your dresses, that you'll be appreciated by the young men. And to the mothers who also dress anyhow, you don't feel ashamed telling people that anywhere I go, men are interested in me, even though you have your rings and other things on. It is because of your Jezebelic dressing. If you're a woman married and you go to places and people are still, you know, coming over you to make marriage proposals, then it means that you are not behaving yourself very well. It's a Jezebelic spirit. Don't take pride that they come to you and make marriage proposals. Let us come before the throne of God and renounce anything that wars against our soul, and ask for the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the blessing of the morning star will always lead us to overcome every dark spot in life. And I believe, as they were recommended for doing more than they did, we'll be doing more than we are doing today, and still will be very appreciated by God. Then we know one day we will have the power to rule with Christ. And when the bright morning star appears to us, we shall also have that bright morning star. And all of us together will faith in God's kingdom. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And God willing, next week, we will make progress.